They know everything. I have been a full-time pastor for 9 years. Honey, it's been 9 years this month. Cool. 9 years. And I have intentionally stayed away from three books of the Bible. Because they're tough. They're tough ones. Daniel. God had me preach through it last. Revelation. Anybody else want to take a stab at the third one? Nah. Well, I haven't preached through it, but I mean, I like Isaiah. Song of Solomon. No, listen, now, Song of Solomon, that's a racy book, y'all. I mean, we'd have to have children and youth probably go to the... That's a racy book. Yeah? Yeah, but see, according to Jewish tradition, we learned this in Journey Through the Bible, how old did you have to be before you could even read through Song of Solomon? Do y'all remember? 33? I think 30, between 30 and 33. I can't remember right off the top of my head. But they wouldn't... I mean, that was a salty book, y'all. Woo! I used to tell my youth when I was a youth pastor, don't read through the Psalm of Solomon because it is full of just all kind of sexual innuendos and stuff. And they were like, no, it wasn't Song of Solomon. The other one is Hebrews. Hebrews, it's a great book, but I'm talking, you got to keep your head down and you can't look to the, I mean, you've got to stay focused. Those are the three books that I've not intentionally stayed away from them. I've gone to them for supporting scriptures, but those are some tough books. Tonight we're going to get into Revelation. Now, I encourage you to study along with me. Find a commentary that you feel comfortable with. I think I've got four or five different commentaries in my office. Some I have complete and total confidence. Some I'm just not real sure of. But, you know, find you a good commentary that you can relate to. Read through it as we go along so we can stay together. Now, 3 weeks ago we ended our study in the book of Daniel. And tonight we begin in the book of Revelation. As we open our Bibles to the first pages of Revelation, I think it's very important to remember what we've learned from our Wednesday night class and take a step back and get some information about the book before we try to understand what is in the book. So tonight, we are going to do an introduction to the book of Revelation. Now, I've told people that I'm doing an introduction, and several people have already asked me for my notes. So if you would like a copy of my notes, please feel free. I can get you a copy for a small fee. That's right. That's right. So the first thing I want us to do is just look at the meaning of the word Revelation. Now, as I always encourage you, as you've opened your Bibles, I've heard you flipping your pages. Where you see the word Revelation, take your pen and write what I'm going to write. Okay? Now, the word Revelation means laying bare. Laying bare. Making naked. Exposing everything. It's total exposure. Making naked. A disclosure of truth, instruction concerning things before unknown. So, as we look at this, we need to understand that the events by which things or states or persons hereinto withdrawn from view are now made visible to all. It's a manifestation, an appearance. So, as we look at this, we need to understand there were some issues, some things that were hidden behind a veil. How many of y'all have ever been to an unveiling? You see it a lot, I guess, around August, September, October. New cars come out with their newest models. We haven't seen the 2016s yet. But they're making them right now, and they're not in production yet. But they'll make a demo, and what they'll do is they'll take these cars to the car shows, and they'll have a cloth or, you know, some sort of material laying, you can just barely see through them. And people are walking by and trying to get as close to the veil and look through the thin veil and try to, you know, feed their expectations. But at some point, somebody steps to a podium and they give this grand speech about the 3.5 cubic liter engines. I don't know what that means. Y'all, does anybody in here know what that means? I go to O'Reilly sometime and I'll say, I need an alternator for a 19... or 2012 Hyundai so-and-so. And they say, well, what size engine is it? Look, I'm a preacher. I don't have a clue. You know, but hey, listen, everybody's looking at this car. They can see this beautiful silhouette, and they go through this demonstration. All of a sudden, they jerk that sheet back, and you see it face to face. This is what Revelation is. What we're going to be studying was before it was written, it was hidden. It wasn't seen. We knew something was coming. You could see, you could sense that something was coming. But when God revealed this message to John, it was revealed. It was unveiled. It was laid. There was nothing. It was totally exposed. You could see it all. There was no hiding. There was no hiding. There. When you understand this definition, you also need to know this. What was unknown is now known. What's the big deal? Y'all know where I'm going with this? You see, before it was unknown. Now it's known. Well, what makes the difference? Maggie, don't scratch your chin. Don't scratch your chin. That's my expectation for you. If you were my child, which you're not, I would say, Maggie, don't scratch your chin. Now, if Maggie were sitting here and she just went to scratch her chin, which she, y'all saw her when I walked down, she was scratching her chin, wasn't she, Gary? If she was my child and I just started smacking her, and she would, like, you know, after, you know, the pain wore off, she'd probably look up to me and, you know, do like this right here, and she'd say, well, why did you smack me? I'd say, because you scratched your chin. Right? Well, how was she supposed to know if I don't tell her? She doesn't. Right? So now I say, Maggie, don't scratch your chin. You got me?
I got it.
Scratch that chin. Go ahead, scratch that chin. See, you know. Beforehand, you didn't know. But punishment was coming. It was coming. It was coming just like it is. It was coming. It was coming. I'm not going to hit you, Maggie. It was coming, but you didn't understand. You didn't know why. Now you know. Well, Brother Kyle, where are you going with this? You have no excuses. None. Before the book of Revelation, we could say, hey, God, listen. I didn't know all this was coming. If I'd have known all this was coming, I'd have done things a whole lot different. I would have been a better witness, a better Christian, a better husband, a better father, a better uncle, better son. I would have been so much better. If I'd have just known, God, why didn't you tell me? Now that we have the book of Revelation, we have no excuses. None. Listen to me, church. It's coming. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't believe it. It's coming. I still don't believe it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's coming. Don't believe it. But it's coming. It's still coming. Hey, listen, in the time that I've said it's coming three times, it's closer to coming now than it ever has been before. The clock's ticking. It's ticking. So we understand the definition of Revelation. We know that we have no more excuses. Hey, you might want to write that under the definition underneath the book of Revelation. No more excuses. We have none. None. Well, who wrote the book? How many of y'all have heard of the controversy of who wrote the book? Well, hopefully I'm getting ready to clear all of that up. And I'm not saying you think you know what I know. Nope. But there's some similarities in the book of Revelation there are in the book of John. And I'm going to say that again here in a second. Well, who wrote the book? The Apostle John is for the most part given credit for writing this book. Most early church leaders give John the Apostle credit for writing this book. So throughout the years, this alone has been enough to give him credibility. Now, John the Elder, a different John. John the Elder is also a possible candidate, and some commentators try to give him credit for writing the book of Revelation. Some scholars point to Revelation 21:14, where John points to the 12 apostles of the Lamb, but does not identify himself as one of the 12. Now, me personally, I believe that John wrote the book of Revelation because of the similarity in the writings of the Gospel of John and Revelation, and the fact that John does not identify himself as one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, some people give John the Elder credit because he doesn't, but I give John the Apostle full credit because he doesn't apply himself as one of the apostles of the Lamb. To me, this just proves that point further, as John identifies himself the same way several times in his gospel message. Now, I'm going to give you just one instance. John chapter 20, verse 3 through 9. John chapter 20, verse 3 through 9. This is what John records. At that, Peter and another disciple went out heading for the tomb. Who was the other disciple? John. He's talking to himself. He's talking about himself, but he doesn't name himself, just like in the book of Revelation. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. That John was a faster runner, and he blew Peter out of the water, and he just didn't want to identify himself, right? That's what took place. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter came in also. He entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was lying with the linen clothes, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, there he is again, talking about himself, who had reached the tomb first. He had to tell people twice that he beat Peter. Y'all see that? He was a bragger, but he wasn't going to talk about himself. Then entered the tomb, saw, and believed, for they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. So some commentators, some scholars believe that maybe John the Apostle didn't write it because he doesn't identify himself. Church, I believe it's more so him than John the Elder, because he does not identify himself as one of the 12 of the Lambs that's talked about in Revelation. All right. 3, location the book was written. Where was it written? Isle of Patmos. That's right. Revelations 1:9 tells us John was writing while in exile on the island of Patmos. The reason he was there was for preaching and teaching the Word of God. The island of Patmos is 40 miles off the coast of Turkey and served as a Roman prison. Commentators correlate this prison with an old American prison. Do y'all know which one? Alcatraz. How many of y'all have seen that correlation? Have y'all seen in a commentary? Listen, once you got on the rock, you didn't get off the rock. I mean, it was cold water, swift currents. There's only 3 people that have ever escaped. I think 3 or 4 who've ever escaped, and they never found their bodies. They don't ever know. Hey, listen, that's the way the island of Patmos was. Once you got on, you didn't get off. And this is where John was when God revealed this book to him and when he wrote it. Number 5. Who was the book written to? Now, I like this part, y'all. Y'all going to like this, okay? I learned something this week. Y'all going to have a new name for the preacher after this, all right? John addresses this letter to who? Who does he address this letter to? John addresses the letter to the 7 angels of the churches in the province of Asia. Okay? Y'all see that in y'all's translation? To the 7 angels. Now, Amy, now please take notice, okay? You got your pen ready? Okay, I'm just checking. I found just one commentator. Y'all, I scoured this because I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. John is writing to 7 angels. What is he talking about here? I found just one commentator, Dr. Jack Hiles. I've never read anything he's written other than this, but I think Mark, he might be my favorite commentator now. Really. He addressed this writing to the angels. Howes believes that John is calling the pastors of the church angels, as they are the leaders and the ones who are spiritually responsible for the direction of the church. Teresa, do you see my halo from there? Huh? So y'all can, instead of calling me Brother Kyle or Preacher or Pastor Kyle, just call me, you know, Angel Kyle or Angel Waddell. Yeah, don't call me Angel because that's kind of feminine, but, you know, you just make sure Angel Kyle or, you know, something like that. All right? I like that. The Asia that he's talking about here, the Asia is that we hear in Revelation is not the Asia that we normally think of today, that we're familiar with today. The Romans divided their empire into provinces and called Western Turkey Asia. The seven churches are seen and directly called out by Jesus in chapter 2 of Revelation, which we'll get there fairly shortly. The churches are Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, when we get to chapter 2, Brother Frank, you know what's coming. We're going to have to identify ourselves. Where do we fit? Where do we fit in the seven churches? If we had to identify ourselves, this church, as one of the seven churches, who would we most closely resemble? Y'all go and look tonight. Read Revelation chapter 7 and tell me which church y'all think we most resemble. All right, main point of the book. I like this. God is goodness. And God and goodness win. We win. I don't know about y'all, but listen, we're to have joy. We're to make the best of things in the worst possible circumstances as Christians. We are. This world tries to beat us down. There's not many things or many people who try to lift us up, are there? As I talked about to y'all this morning, listen, our culture, our world is trying to destroy the church, trying to demonize Christians, trying to pollute preachers, trying to put us all in our place, and they're doing a good job of it. They really are. But as this book has been revealed to us, Revelation is an unveiling. It's a total exposure. Steve, we win! We win! Hey, listen, go to all the chat rooms, all these news stories about the church this week, and read the article if you want to. And in the comment section, write this: my name is Gary White, and I want you to understand something. In the end, we win. You think you're doing something now, but we win. We win in the end. Not only that, listen, not only do we win, Satan and evil lose. They lose. God defeats Satan and all his forces of evil. People who love God live for him and with him forever. That is the main point of this book. We win, Satan loses. We live with God forever. That's a pretty good scenario, isn't it? I like it. I'm ready to go. Now, there's some interesting comparisons to this book. John Phillips says there are about 550 references to the Old Testament passages in the book of Revelation. It is closely related to the book of Daniel, to which it forms a sequel. Told you all that in times past. Also, many interesting contrasts and comparisons can be made between the book of Revelation and what other book? Genesis. Listen, the circle is complete. It's complete. It's done. Genesis tells us of paradise lost. Revelation speaks of paradise regained. Genesis talks of the Garden of Eden. Revelation, the city of gold. the city of God. Revelation, we see the tree of life in Genesis. Is seen again, the same tree is seen again in the book of Revelation. In Genesis, the serpent appears and meets his doom in the book of Revelation. Sin, sorrow, and tears and the curse all begin in what book? Genesis. And all vanish in what book? That's right. The book of Revelation naturally completes the circle of revealed truth begun in the book of Genesis. Am I whetting your appetite? Y'all excited? You sure? Boy, I can just feel y'all. Y'all can feel the anticipation in the air. All right. The purpose of the book. The purpose for this book. John Phillips says, this book was written by God to show His servants, that's us, show His servants things which must shortly come to pass. Church, God has a plan for this earth. His plans will not be altered. Now, listen to what I'm saying after I just said that. His plans won't be altered. But I do believe as we look at Scripture, we may, as obedient believers, possibly prolong at times God's coming judgment. But understand, His judgment will most definitely come. Most definitely come. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. To believe the events of this book are not coming or are not true would make God a liar and make this book and all the books that precede Revelation not valid. Is it serious that we take this book serious? Yes. Yes. Is it relevant today? Yes. Very relevant. Now, how should we prepare ourselves for this book? Number one, Proverbs 1:7. Brother Kyle, you say Proverbs 1:7 all the time. Have y'all noticed, how many of y'all go to cookout? How many of y'all go to cookout? Have y'all noticed the cup, one of the cups at cookout, one of the scriptures at the bottom? Guess what that scripture is? Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7, that's exactly right. How can we prepare ourselves? Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. If you don't fear the Lord after reading the book of Revelation, something's wrong with your fear detector. Really. Number two, how can we prepare? We should do our best to understand what is happening in this book, if not for ourselves, then to help others understand what's coming. Now, listen, I'm not going to be naive enough, and you shouldn't be naive enough either, to believe that every person who sits under the sound of our voice or in the... Now, listen, there's a greater chance that everybody in here on a Sunday night, listen, we're all going to be taken up in the rapture than it is on Sunday morning. But let there be no doubt. The Sunday morning after the rapture takes place, there's going to be people trying to get in the back door at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. There really are. And they need to be prepared. They need to be prepared for what's coming. Well, how can we prepare them? By knowing what's coming, by knowing what's about to take place. Listen, things are happening in this world today. Today, listen, right now, today, that are pointing down the road towards the book of Revelation. What's happening today? Did anybody read a story? What's happening today, right now? Anybody know? Well, but there's something specific. Something very specific. Our president is meeting in the G7 summit right now. And they have come together and they've said that we are going to uphold the sanctions against who? Russia. Russia? Exactly. Listen, you can only stick a hornet's nest long enough before they start coming to attack you. Do you hear me? Things are happening every single day that are pointing down this road. Well, Brother Kyle, what can I do? You can be aware, and as they're happening and people are talking about it, saying, yeah, hey, we're talking about this on Sunday night. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. And you're going to point them in the same direction every time, and we're going to get to that here in a second. So how can you prepare? We need to remember that God in the book of Daniel fulfilled prophecy to the letter. To the letter. He didn't miss anything, nothing. And he's going to do the same thing with the prophecy that remains. I would tell people, as prophecy is unfolding and things are happening in the Middle East and people come to you because you've got a bracelet on or you've got a chain with a cross on and they ask you, listen, is this prophecy? Say, listen, I want you to understand something. Nothing else has to happen before Jesus comes again. And I just stepped all over my next point. But you know, they say, well, what are you talking about? Listen, in the book of Daniel, God revealed that prophecy to Daniel, but he fulfilled it completely. To the T, to the letter. And I want you to understand something. As things are unfolding, you need to be worried. You need to get right with God because He is going to fulfill the rest of the prophecy to the letter, to the T. You need to get right with God. Amen? Now, just said this. Number four, how to be prepared. Church, no more prophecy need take place before Christ's return. But much prophecy will take place after His return. It's coming. It's coming. We need to be prepared. Number five, how do we need to be prepared? We need to be ready and willing to answer questions that the lost world is and will be asking as we approach the time of the Lord's return. We need to be able to point it out in Scripture. Listen, they don't want your opinion. When people ask you a spiritual question about prophecy, do not give them your opinion. Give them Scripture. And tell them, say, listen, God could care less about my opinion. Can I show you what the Word of God says? And show them what the Word of God says. The prophetical clock started ticking on May the 14th, 1948. That's the date y'all need to remember. May 14th, 1948. May 14th, 1948. When Israel became a nation. We need to point out the Scripture of the parable of the fig tree, Matthew 24, 32 through 35, as many people as will listen. Why? Because everything started then to where we're heading next Sunday night. On May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, the clock started ticking. We need to be ready. We need to share that date and that Scripture with people so they can look at it and see. There was a girl on one of my Facebook pages, and she is a doomsdayer. I went to school with her. She is big into propaganda, government propaganda. 9/11 was this, and I mean, she is worse. I mean, she's bad. And I wrote to her, I said, have you looked at the parable of the fig tree in Matthew chapter 24 and understood that Israel became a nation on May 14th, 1948? Have you looked at that? And she said, no, but I'm going to. And a few weeks later, she posted something else. Jeff, I wrote back, I said, Laura, did you check out what I told you to look at? And she said, yes, and it scared the out of me. And I said, it should have. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Hey, listen, I don't witness as much as I should. I don't pray as much as I do. I'm not even in the Word of God as much as I should. Is anybody? I'm not. But we need to take every opportunity to be a witness. Every opportunity we can. God opens the door just a little bit. If we'll be receptive to being a witness. I was telling Angie a little bit ago when I walked in here. I'm guilty. I missed an opportunity yesterday. I was running through my... Miss Virginia just looked at me in scorn. I was running through my neighborhood, and usually when I'm running, it's a place of solitude. I mean, I just put on my earphones and I'll listen to gospel music sometimes. I'll listen to Kirk Franklin sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you, church? Sometimes I'll listen to Prince and the Revolution. I will. Miss Janelle smiled. You must have. You know, but it's just a place for me to unwind and relax. Some people are like, how in the world do you relax? That's just, So I'm running through my neighborhood, and I'm about a quarter mile into my run. And there's this man, and he's pulled alongside of the road. And he's got a John boat strapped to a trailer. And he's with this older woman, and he's an older-looking guy, and he's walking over there to the boat. And I know as I'm about from here to the door, I'm watching everything unfold, and he's going towards the strap. I know what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to unstrap that boat, and he's going to take the boat and put it in the boat in the backyard. And I'm sitting here running. Oh, no, I'm not going. Because, hey, if I stop, I don't know about y'all. Any of y'all over here run? I know you do, Mr. White. You got the outfit on right here tonight. But once I stop, I don't like to start. So, I mean, there's only one time where I'll stop for about 50 feet, and I'll start running again. And I was like, no, I'm not going to stop. And as soon as I passed, God said, boy, you just missed an opportunity. All I had to do was stop and help that man take the boat off. And I talked about Jesus the whole time. God puts opportunities in front of us every single day to be a witness. Don't miss them. Do you know what's at stake here? There are 7 billion people in this world. There's some people I don't care much about. Now, I'm looking around here. I don't want to get my wife in trouble. My wife has a heart for Africa, loves Africa, grieves over Africa. She loves Central America. She has no desire whatsoever at all to ever go to South America and to Asia. She said, God has not put my heart in Asia. But you know those people in Asia are going to hell. That's what's at stake. Hell is what's happening, church. We've got people in America that we encounter on a daily basis that if they don't find our Jesus, they're going to hell. Is that sad? Let me ask you this. Is there anybody that you hate so bad or you dislike so much that you'd rather them go to hell than be with you in heaven? As you turn to the book of Revelation and you open it to chapter 1, and you read verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his slaves what must quickly take place. The veil's been revealed. The veil's been removed. We have no more excuses, and neither does the lost world. We need to get about doing God's business, church. And they need to be getting about listening to God's word. Amen? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And God, we thank you for allowing us to come back into your house tonight. God, I hope that each one of our hearts is filled with anticipation as we head towards this book. God, you know me. You know me better than I know me. You know me better than these people know me. Lord, I want to do you no harm as I preach through this book. God, I pray that you would open my eyes and give me insight like I've never had before as I study this book, that I might be able to preach it to your people that set before me, God. Lord, I pray that you'd give me abilities beyond my abilities to do this. But Lord, right now in this quiet moment, Lord, I pray that you would deal with our hearts. Help us to prepare ourselves to be better than what we were yesterday, that we might be in service for you. Lord, the clock started ticking. We're heading towards this path, God. Help us to be prepared for you. In Jesus' name, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?